Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today in TGIF. It is the fourth Friday of the month, and it's a holiday weekend for some of us, and it's also Faith Friday today. And one of the things that I've been trying to do in the past year or so is to talk about spiritual issues and different things that we might want to address. And I wish I'd have started this sooner, but better late than never. Anyway, today I'm blessed to have someone on that I don't know when I haven't known him, but I've known him just about all of my life. And and even though we're distant in terms of, geography, we've always been close. One of my favorite cousins, let me introduce to you the Bishop George Coleman Jr. Good morning, Bishop. How you doing?
Good morning. You can hear me, right?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm going to try to stick to calling you Bishop because, that's kind of hard for me. But got to give you your due. So how are things with you, sir?
Things are outstanding with me. We're doing great. Our ministry is flourishing. Food we're giving out. We got clothes to give out. People are calling for prayers. I mean prayers from everywhere. I mean, someone called my wife yesterday. They have COVID there and their husband. And people that we haven't heard from for years. So the Lord is really open the airways up for us to be able to do many things in His name.
Now, tell us before we go forward. Tell us a little bit about your faith journey, your walk, and how you ended up where you are, and how you've been able to help people.
Okay. Well, first thing is that my first experience, I think I might have had when I was 7 or 8, and it started raining, and we was in some smut-colored houses, and I looked out the ditch between the houses were filling up. That was the first sermon I did, but I didn't realize my calling to have someone to help me to with my calling at that time. But throughout time, the Lord has blessed me with a beautiful lady, and she's helped me to gain our spirituality back, because a lot of things, I think, when you get away from mama and daddy, you're not as spiritual as you were before. And so she's helped me to do that. And we have a ministry going. We have a Bible study every Wednesday night. And we got prayer service every morning at 7:30, and we just wait for people to come on, because you never know how people may be feeling or what's going on, and maybe they just want to give a praise part of how God has been good to them. So there are a lot of things that's being done right there, and I am not the pastor of the church. No, my wife is the pastor of the church, and I heard so many people talk about women pastors and stuff, and I really frown on them. And they don't talk about the last people that were around Jesus around the cross when he was on the cross. They don't talk about stuff like that, but those were some of the very women who was helping Jesus in his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You got to catch me, make sure I'm staying on topic where you want me to be, because I'll be gone. I just go
that's all right. That's all right, because sometimes you got to go where the spirit leads, you know. But
yes,
I do want to talk about where the spirit leads, and you were talking about also how we, especially, I guess, when we're in transition, when we get away from our parents and we're trying to feel our way as adults. But even when we grow into ourselves, so to speak, and become our own people in terms of adults, sometimes we are in need of spiritual guidance or direction. And sometimes we look to try to find someone to help us with that. And it's a little hard sometimes, especially every now and then you hear about someone in ministry who has lost their way. But can you talk about what a layperson should look for when they are looking for someone to help them on their spiritual journey, when they need a kind of a little more guidance or direction?
I can do that. And I actually wrote down how to choose a spiritual director or a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for myself, we need to be careful with that. Just because
mm-hmm.
I'm sent to an office or go somewhere and to a counselor, and I'm looking for someone to help me to gather my wits, to gather where I'm going and stuff like that. We got to be concerned, is that person that we're going to, are they really spiritually inclined, or are they looking for money, or are they looking for self-esteem? And so I let the Lord use me in a situation like that. If I don't feel it, there's no sense in me being there. I mean, I need to be in the place where the Lord is, you know, where the Lord talking to me. So what
right.
I do a lot of times, rather than for me to go a place like that, I go to the saints or particular saints that I feel led to, and ask them to pray for me. And as they pray for me, I still haven't got my answer. They pray for me, but I'm waiting on the word from God to come in and say, that's what I want right there, and this is what you do. And so throughout my journey, I used to see 7-Eleven all the time. Now, that 7-Eleven means July. The 11 means November. That means July. I'm born in July. My wife is born in November. I know God is talking to me. I can come to a stoplight on the way going to dialysis in the morning. When I get to the stoplight, it'll change green. I say, good morning, the Lord. I know he's talking to me already. I go to another light, you know, it turned green again. I know God talking to me. And so you have to be within the, around the Lord's people. Are you reading his word? Are you paying attention to when he's talking to you? That's when you get the counseling you need, because he'll send you the answers and the direction that you need when you stand in communication with him at all times. That's when you get the counsel you need. And the Holy Spirit directs me to that person. And I put down, talked about tag numbers, have a meaning. I was on a delivering mail one time. It was hot. And I was just finishing my route, and I had my windows cracked in my truck. And a cool breeze that come over my face, that's God talking to you. He's getting directed. He's talking to you then. Are we paying attention to the little things that God sent us each and every day for our direction? And I think we'd be too worried about man all the time, and we forget that God's nature that will surround us and that will direct us. And so we need to slow down and pay attention to what God is saying around us as well as in us, and we can get a lot of answers that we need.
So it's not necessarily a matter of just listening with the ears. It's kind of using all of the senses that God has given us in order to find out what he's trying to tell us, you know.
We go back in Genesis, and when we're back in Genesis, God said he made the whole, all the Garden of Eden for us, right, before he put us in. and and when you begin to smell the sweet smell of the roses or the carnations or the honey or different things like that, he put everything around us to talk to us, but do we listen? Even when we look up in the air at the jets flying and everything, like, are we paying attention to what God is saying to us? And I think I think man has gotten so to a point now where they feel like they too above God to listen, you know, and to do what he says. Just pay attention to him.
Isn't that maybe just too much noise, too much going on? That maybe we're missing what he's trying to tell us.
You better stop. You're trying to trick me up, Deborah, because at 2:30 in the morning, Lord, get me up. I got me started on a book, and I go downstairs and I start. First, it was reading the Bible, you know, and just certain places where he leads me to read. You know, he gets you up in the quiet times of the day, of the night, just to talk with us.
Mm.
And I'm writing this book, and every night I start writing. It's not the same, start from the same place. It's like different parts of my life. And some of those parts of my life, Christians, is embarrassing. Because as I look back at the younger part of my life, it's embarrassing. And I see where God moved me so that he could use me. I don't want to walk around in life with an embarrassed life. You know, people know all this, they know all that. But God has got me to a point where when you say, ask him to take those sins and cast them into the sea of forgiveness, you know, I'd be praying all the time because my mind running over different things that I did while I was younger, and I'm just throwing them over. Lord, please forgive me for that. Please forgive me for that. Lord, I hope this person will forgive me for that. I hope this person will forgive me for that. And so I'm constantly seeking the doorway of the Lord. And I feel that what I got to do is I got to go back and forth to the cross. I know he say all I got to do is pray one time and throw it in, but every night I got a different thought or something, some crazy mess that I did. And so I have to go back to him and thank him for removing me from where I was, that I can stand up like a true believer today, you know. And people or things don't embarrass me like they used to. I'm not an embarrassment to the Lord. And that's one thing I need to ask people. Do you think you are an embarrassment to the Lord? If so, you need to go back and start getting it right with the Lord. I mean, you need to seek and get real close to him. And we need to get out of all these filthy rags that we're in, all these things that we know we still sneak off and go and do. We need to thank the Lord that he's getting us out of that and be who he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm. So when we do go off and do these things that aren't necessarily right, that we, in hindsight, we forget it right, is it that he's missing in us? Is it, or is there what, something missing in us that we're trying to fill when we do some of this stuff?
We see a lot of things out there. Some nice, fine boats, cars, houses, all these things, and we'd be wanting that, and then we actually start wanting what other people have. We forget that God says he's got all the gold, he's got everything, and we forget something, and then our minds get trapped, and I said this to the church the other day, and in prayer, I mean, this cage that we're in, it's a cage that we're in. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that cage door was opened up. So I need to ask everybody, how many of us have come out of that cage anyway? Even though the door is open, how many of us have come out of that cage? You know, a lot of us still in that cage. And in that cage, we still may be sneaking and doing this and doing a little bit of that. But how many of us are actually serious when we say that when the Lord says, well done, a good and faithful servant, come on into the house? How many of us real for real and we want to go into that house? And if you know, and I know the door's been open and I've had some freedoms, but I hadn't come all the way out of the cage yet. And some things way back when I was a little boy have kept me in that cage. Little things we've done and what people said, different things like that have kept us locked up, not locked because the door is open, but we locked ourselves up in the cage. And I finally jumped to the door the other day, and I flew free. I'm not in no cage no more. And the Lord, I mean, and he just comes over you and just excites you so much when you talk about him. And, oh, I was in the heaven and earth yesterday, and the young lady was, I could see she was crying. I said, come here. And I called her to me, and I gave her a hug. Because she's one of my sisters, too. She needed, something had her backed up in that cage. We can't continue to stay in that cage. God, Jesus already broke that, opened that cage door for us. And so we have to be willing to step forward and come out.
It's great Friday here on G's Power Hour. We are here with Bishop George Coleman, Jr. And we are not taking calls today because this is pre-recorded, but we're gonna be able to talk to George at another time. You'll be able to ask him some questions, but we're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this Faith Friday, the fourth Friday of the month on G's Power Hour. And today we have with us Bishop George Coleman, Jr. And I wanted to ask you, Bishop, is there a wrong and a right way to pray?
Yes.
What is God looking for from us when we pray?
When we pray, you know, I've been to a few churches, right? And you hear the deacons or the trustees, they get up and they start praying, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can almost, when the prayer is word by word, because it's the same thing last week and the week before that, the week before that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought them boys was dynamite when I heard them.
Mm-hmm.
But as I grow more into the Lord, suppose somebody just died. Do I pray that same prayer? Suppose somebody got hurt. Do I pray the same prayer? No. This needs to be something that the Lord reaches down and touches you in your spirit, in your heart, in your love, in your compassion, your concern for others. It's right now. You don't. It ain't no prayer that I haven't prayed and I haven't prayed years, but the Lord reaches down and touches you and gives you a prayer that's out of this world. I mean, half the time when you finish prayer, you don't pray. You don't even know what you're saying because the Lord done touches so much and you done prayed so much that he might have feel. It don't have to be long either. It just has to be something that God gives you. It has to be your love that you have on the inside. It has to be the love for other people, not somebody's love, but the God-given love that he gives us. That's where those prayers come from. Yeah. That's where those prayers come from.
But what about now? What about, like, he gave us the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father, that the majority of Christians say, you know, and there's been some variations, but the prayer is basically the same, you know.
You're messing with me because, you know, that's a model. That's a model prayer.
Okay.
That's a model prayer. But what did God give you to pray? I mean, I'm praying for my wife. I pray for my wife sometimes. She doesn't sleep. I be praying for her. I be praying for my grandchildren. That ain't in the model. It's a part when you look at all the words as a part of it. But, you know, what does God give me to pray as well? I got to be, I'm a different person. We all got different spiritual beliefs out there. What is God telling me to pray when I pray for my daughter or my son or my nephews or people like that, or somebody got in an accident? I don't even know who they are. I don't know who these people are down in North Carolina and everything is going on. The young man has got killed. I don't know none of them. But is that the same prayer? I mean, I pray the moral prayer. But what about me praying for those people and for their help and their concern? You know, we got to blossom out. I used to say we pray in a little circle. Right around a little circle. That little prayer is what we pray all the time. But Lord made us bigger than that. We're supposed to go into highways and byways, compel them to come, that his house may be. I got to pray for the people over there in Russia. I got to pray for the people when all this bombing over in Jordan the Palestinians. I got to pray for all them people too. I don't know, not now one of them, but the Lord put me on this earth to take his word and to carry his word throughout as far as I can take it. And that's what those disciples were supposed to do. They were supposed to walk from here to there and to pray his prayers, and that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it as hard as I can. And again, like I say, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it because I want to hear him say one day, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." I can't keep on looking around in the same closet I've been in. I think about the same things I've been in. I can ask him for forgiveness, though, about those things, but I can't let those hold me down to a point where, you know, I'm not out doing his will. I walked by some people this morning going to get my test done. Good morning. They all had to look up and say good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to know that I'm a child of Christ. And if need be, I drop on my knees right then and pray for them. Something can be going, I pray for them right now. It ain't got to be no here or there. I got to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I get the calls from you every now and then, you know. And you have to get that Bishop Coleman prayer for sure.
You know, I got another little something. I put this in the prayer this morning. I say, prayer is raising the steeple on the tabernacle and rendering unto God your thoughts, your concerns, and waiting on God to answer you back. That's what prayer is.
Now, that's the last part of what you said is key. About
Amen.
Waiting for God to answer you back. Because sometimes we don't wait. Not like they
Amen.
Should.
You know, I got something for that too. We go to the Lord, we ask the Lord, we prayed about something. Well, don't wait. Don't think he's going to be there right then. He had to build an overpass and to put a street up on it and move the blockade out of the way to get what your prayer to, you know, to answer your prayer. And people be thinking, I want it right now, I want it right now, so they walk away from the Lord. But he got to do different things. He's doing different things in life to get us to get the answer that we need. And then when we get the answer, that we, like we say, I want a car. And so you thinking about this Cadillac XTS that I got, you know, 2018 that he gave me. But suppose he just give you a Volkswagen. It's going to do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. So
Amen.
how do we deal with the answers to those prayers? Because a lot of times we get answers, but they're not necessarily the answers we want or the answers that we thought we were going to get. But they're his answers. How are we supposed to manage the answer, I guess, or how are we supposed to live with the answer or carry out the answer? Sometimes it's a little more difficult than others.
All right. The answer, and that's for a lot of people. If we, Jeremiah 17:5-8, if you trusted in the Lord now, okay, Jeremiah 17, verse 5a, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man. And I didn't go any further than that because a lot of times, and there was somebody waiting on me to go, Jeremiah what? 17 what?
And 29.
And 29. I know what I got for you, but I want to go somewhere that's different. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting on God to give me a man answer now. And so I want my man answer right now. I'm waiting on him. He got to give me my answer. Am I really trusting in the Lord? Do I already know the Lord, and how long did it take him for him to construct the earth and all the billions and billions and trillions of people on the earth that he's paying attention to all at the same time every day? So I'm just going to force him to give me my answer right then?
Mm.
I need to have more respect for the Lord than that, to know that he's going to answer me, but it may not be the time that I want. Just wait. Wait on the Lord.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what I got. I mean, I know I've been wanting some things right now, and I know I've been wanting some things right now. And like, I went down to get my Cadillac. I didn't go down to get it. We was just out riding, and we was in this parking lot there. And I had this truck that smelled on the inside. It was another SUV. But when I saw the car parked back out that somebody else was testing, that's the car that I want. In less about an hour and a half, I was driving that car. That was a gift from the Lord.
Uh-huh.
We got to understand when God gives us gifts. I mean, on prayer line with this lady, she told me the Lord lent us this. And he did. Everything we got, he lent us. Even my wife sitting here,
uh-huh.
He lent different things to us to bless us. And we need, instead of complaining at the Lord, we need to say, thank you, Lord.
Mm.
That's my answer. Mm-hmm.
That's something that's interesting, because you talk about he lent us different things. It's so, because we do, we get into this thing about ownership. We need to
mm-hmm.
own a house. We need to own a car. We need to own something. I mean, even in my other profession in terms of real estate, you know, I'm all about, you know, proposing home ownership, you know,
yeah.
For various reasons. But, I mean, in all actuality, you know, because things do pass, including us, you know, these things are on loan. Our you know, not only our possessions, but even the people in our lives, I guess you would say, are on loan. Our children are on
yeah.
loan to us.
Yeah.
Our family and friends are on loan to us for the purposes that God put them in our lives. You
Amen.
Know, so we've got to kind of look at, and that's an interesting concept that you brought up, because we do have to look at it as that these things in our lives are on loan. They're temporary. So while they're on loan, I guess we have to look at how we treat and value those things or those people in our lives.
Amen. Amen. It's
wow.
only a loan. The Lord gave us only a loan, fulfilling our life. When Adam
mm-hmm.
came in, he had all this luscious garden, and then all these animals coming to him. I can imagine what Adam may have felt, but it was only a loan. And so what we have is only a loan, and we need to thank God for his loaning us things instead of running around like we got it all made and everything. You ain't got nothing, because nobody knows the day nor the coming of the hour of the Lord. When he calls you home, you could be 2 years old. When he calls you home, you're gone.
Yeah.
So you just
yeah.
thank him for that, you know, that he
yeah.
lent you something and you had the opportunity to hold on to it for just a little while. And so when
mm-hmm.
we fall on our knees and we start saying our motto prayer, we need to just thank the Lord for that.
We are here with Bishop George Coleman, Jr. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. This is Faith Friday, and we will be right back.
The only thing he gave us.
The only thing he gave us, honey. The only thing he gave us. You see that right there?
Yes, we're going to skip the break. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. It is Faith Friday, the fourth Friday of the month here, and I am with the Bishop George Coleman, Jr., and his lovely wife, Phyllis. I know you're there. Hey.
Amen.
So we are talking, and we're not taking calls this Faith Friday, but we will in the future. The number, I tell you what, instead of the number, go to the G's Power Hour Facebook page and hit me up. Leave me a message. You know, if you have questions that I can forward to Bishop Coleman, and we'll get them answered for you in the future. So, anyway, so we talked about prayer. Well, we talked about, you know, getting spiritual guidance and discernment and everything. We talked about prayer and how, and I guess how to listen for the answers. We also, one of the things that we taught that you alluded to was about things that we want and see. And now the thing is, and I guess I was listening to something on the other day, because I listened every now and then to Moody Radio, and they were talking about, how was it put? I think it had to do with, you know, how we talk about things that we want or things that we're supposed to have. I think what it had to do with where we're supposed to be in our lives. And I guess we all have different stations. I know that there's one passage that talks about different gifts of the same spirit and everything. So sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge that the gift that we've been given is the gift that we're supposed to have. A lot of times we think we're supposed to have something else, or be something else, or do something else. You know, because what looks good over there is, what did they say, the grass looks greener on the other side. You know, we think everything's better, you know, because with someone else that has something, you know, or someone else is doing something so much better than what we have or we're doing. But it's actually not necessarily better. It just may be different. You know,
yes.
What we have,
yes.
What we're doing is different. And what we have and what we're doing is what we're meant to have, or what we're meant to do, or who we're meant to be. How do we, I guess, discern what that is supposed to be, and how do we live with that? You know, how do we be satisfied with that? Or even if you're not necessarily satisfied or happy with it, how do we live with it and make the best of it?
I'm going to carry you back to Exodus. In Exodus, Moses and the Israelites were leading out of Egypt.
Mm.
But while they were there, they were crying out to the Lord. They needed somebody to rescue them. I think Ben-Hur movie a long time ago showed how they even got run over with some of the big old wheels that they had. And so that just gave me a thought. I said, wow, that's rough, you know. And then they wouldn't give them any sand and make bricks and all stuff like that. And they complaining, they want this and they want that. And Moses carries them out into the desert, leading them. And then God shows them all these things before they leave. So they know it wasn't just Moses who did it. It was God who did it. And then when they get out in the desert, what they start doing, they start complaining. You know, they're not satisfied what God gave them. They're not satisfied that he took them so the sandals not even wearing out, that the Lord gives them leek. He gives them bread from heaven. It gives them water. And he protects them with the sun. And protects them by shade. That's us today. We're not satisfied with what God has given us. We're not looking back and saying, Father, thank you that, what was the kind of car? I had a Fifth Avenue. It was beautiful. We're not thanking the Lord that now he's given us Cadillac XTS 2018. This morning we had to replace the battery in it. We're not thanking him when the battery go down, we're not looking at the car saying, thank you, Lord, for the car. We're looking at the battery, and then the old car start to give me trouble. Or when it start leaking in the house, we're not saying, Lord, thank you for the house. I got this old leak, got to have this roof fixed, but you got a house. We're not thanking him when we go by and we pick up what used to be a 5 cent for five pieces, a penny for so many candies, a penny cookie or something like that. And, you know, the cookie got a little bit better. We're not thanking him that now he's still giving us Oreos and, you know, some stuff that may even taste a little better. We're too busy complaining. And people complaining way back then, they complaining. And so I say that what we need to do, we need to stop complaining. And I got two dogs here. Somebody come up to the door, they barking and carrying on, and they won't even bite a snake. Probably. I'm just joking. Though. They bite the snake. But the other thing is that they protecting us. They round us all day. They protect us. You making too much noise. Shut up. All this kind of, but the dogs even protect you. That's a gift from God. Those dogs love us. We need to just be a little bit more thoughtful for the one who created heaven and earth and gave us everything we got. Everything. We need to stop complaining because the car it's a rust bucket and a hole in the foot area where I put my feet. At least you're driving down the road. At least you ain't got to walk out in the rain, you know. I used to go to pray and kneel down to pray. I ain't want nobody to see the holes that was in the bottom of my shoes. At least I had some shoes on. We need to be a little bit more thankful for how God is and how many people, not just one, not just me. I call myself a favorite right because I pull up to Walmart and I want to walk for me way out and he got a car spot for me right up front. That's being a favorite. I need to thank the Lord that at least I can pull the back seat out of my car and get some change and put some gas in my car.
And you know the funny part about that, Bishop, is that. You know this because you knew how our folks roll. They taught you manners. You said please. You said thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you said sir. You said ma'am. You know, but you had respect for other people. You know, and if you didn't say please or thank you, they were like, well, what do you say?
You might get backhanded or something like that if you hit do some things.
Or whatever you got might get taken back, you know. But the thing is now is like I see people just acquire stuff and there's no thank you, you know. It's assumed that it belongs to them. You know, I mean, and even when you thought something belonged to you, if someone gave it to you, you still said thank you, regardless. And I just don't see a lot of that anymore. And to me, you know, and how we grew up, it was considered like you're taught manners, you're taught common courtesy. And
yes.
You don't see that anymore. I have this call center job part-time at night. And I remember asking someone, may I have, I forget what the information was that I needed. And this gentleman said, what? And I thought I did something wrong. And I said, I spoke it kind of slowly. I was like, may I please have whatever it was? And he said, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? He's like, I don't know when the last time it was I heard anybody said, may I anything.
Oh, boy.
it's what I was taught. It's what you do, you know, especially if you're asking for something from someone you know, you're asking permissions for certain things that are not yours. You slick man. And I think we don't even say that with God, you know, it's like, I want this, I want that, please let me have this, that, and the other. And like you said, it's not necessarily a matter of stuff that's supposed to be ours. This stuff is on loan. So we might have to get into the mindset of saying, Lord, would you mind please loaning me? We might have to try to get to that mindset.
You know, I was in the TRICARE here, and I was relaxing. I'm an elderly guy. I was relaxing. I had my feet stretched out, you know, and all someone would have to do is say, excuse me, sir, and I would draw my feet up. If I didn't notice they were coming past, you know, I done said it already. But young fellas, probably in their teens, get your feet out the way. Step over you and scuff you as they go across. And then also I wrote this one down. I said, I had the opportunity to preach the other day and says, Lord, I thank you for the sandals on our feet, for the dogs we have. We don't go back and thank God for anything. Do we thank him every time we sit down and eat? I mean, he's the one who provided the food that we eat.
Uh-huh.
He's the one who provided. Do we ever say, thank you, dear Lord, or do I catch myself because I started too quickly? I got to come back. Dear Father, thank you for the food that I received for the nourishment. Do I come back and give him the thanks that I deserve to give to him?
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to start thinking about that, because how good God is. And as mm-hmm. we get older in life, like your lady, do you open the door for your lady?
Mm-hmm.
Do you walk on the right side of the street for your lady, so that if a car hits you all, it hits you first and not her?
Oh,
are we going back
goodness.
All
so that's
these things?
That's
I
another show, Bishop.
All right. I'll leave that one alone.
That's a whole other show, Bishop.
But when I start thinking, you know, I'm thinking about what all God done and how we supposed to be trained individuals on how moms and dads, they too busy being buddies rather than moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
And for their kids. And that's why we got so many of them in prison. That's why we got so many of them in a grave today, because we aren't going back doing those simple things that we should have been taught as we were growing
mm-hmm.
up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
Amen.
Part of the reason why is because we thought it was so rough on us growing up that we said, I'm not going to treat my children this way. I'm not going to do this to that and the other. And not realizing the consequences of not doing those things.
Amen. And sitting up smoking dope, cocaine, drinking with your kids. You know, I'm not telling you all not to do that. I mean, if that's what you want to do. But what I am saying, that's my child, not my equal. And I need to be mindful of the things that I do around my child.
Yes. For
I
sure.
Miss Henrietta Williams. I know Miss Henrietta Wheaton would have told your butt
ooh.
Up for you around
ooh.
Him.
Ooh.
If they
yeah.
were doing something wrong.
Oh, my, you went back there. That was my buddy. You know, yes.
Oh.
I miss her dearly. You know, it's just a matter of having to, I guess, you learn what respect really is, and everybody's like trying to command or demand respect. And the thing about it is, it's one of those things you kind of have to give it first.
Amen.
To get it.
Amen.
And even if you don't
Amen.
Get it, you know, it's still a matter of you doing the right thing. And
yes.
like my mom used to always tell me, you know, you don't give gifts to get gifts. You don't send a letter just so you can get a letter back. You don't make a phone call just so you can get it back. You do it because it's the right thing to do. you know, you do it because you're supposed to do it. You know, that's the person that you are. And you don't do stuff because of how other people, you know, do you.
Yeah.
So,
but
I was thinking about
stop.
What you were saying. You're
going to have a posse jumping up and down here at the wall, because that's her talk right there, girl.
Well, I was thinking also, too, what you were talking about, praying, do we pray? And I was thinking about how when my husband and I go out some Sunday mornings after Mass to go for breakfast, because it's actually the only time we get a chance to, well, sometimes on Saturday, but usually Sunday is the only time we get a chance to eat breakfast together. And so we do pray before meals, even when we're out. And I can't tell you how many, especially older couples, older people that will come up to us and say, I think it is so nice. I am so glad to see that do that. I don't think young people even think about doing it. And I could be wrong. But the feedback that we get has never been from my recollection, a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have to, I'm going to start looking around and seeing maybe if there are other young people that are doing it, because whatever that recognition that was paid to me, maybe I need to turn around and look and start paying that recognition to some younger person to encourage them to keep doing that, because and set that example for other people, because it's important. So.
Scripture says that you train up a child in the way in which they should go. And if I train up my child having respect and doing these different things and respecting the lady that I'm with and, you know, doing these kind of things, that's going to grow up. And then what does it do? It passes it over. The Lord says, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come that my house may be full. And so when he said that, he said, my house still isn't full. And so at the more of us come in and do these things that we have been taught from the Bible or by our parents, the more things we train up the more times that we do these things, the more it comes back to us that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to open the door for my wife. I'm supposed to walk on the outer side. So when if somebody hit us, I'm protecting my wife. That's my beauty queen. That's the one that I love. I'm supposed to do these things. And, you know, a lot of it is not written in the Bible, but the way that those people, the older people, brought us up, they were spiritually inclined when they were telling you different things. That's what we're supposed to be caring. Going to the highways and byways and compel them to come that my house may be full. So the more people that I can train doing God's work, the ecclesia, the Lord's house is going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And when Satan thinks he got it done, we're going to be done daubed him in the eye a couple of times. Amen.
Oh, goodness gracious. We are here with Bishop George Coleman, Jr. This is Jesus Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. It's Faith Friday, the fourth Friday of the month here. And we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arlington. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us this Friday afternoon. This Faith Friday, fourth Friday of the month on G's Power Hour. Also, remember, starting today, it is, I think it's called Disaster Preparedness or Hurricane Preparedness Tax-Free Week that starts today. So I will be posting a list of the items that the state says that you can purchase tax-free this week. I think it runs until the 6th. Also, it is Memorial Day weekend, so make sure you're taking some time to recognize those that gave their life in the service of us and our country this weekend. Yes, it is a 3-day weekend, and then I know you probably got something that you're putting on the grill, but, you know, in the meantime, also just remember that you need to send up some prayers for those that gave their lives to keep our country livable for us here. But anyway, we are here with Faith Friday and the Bishop George Coleman Jr. joining us too, and Phyllis Coleman. So,
amen.
Now, one of the things, because I just thought about it, the next Porch Friday is going to be after Father's Day, and I meant to ask you about this, but you know, you're talking about training up a child. You know, a lot of people have gotten away from thinking that we need both parents, you know, and a lot of focus gets put on mothers. But we also need to make sure that the fathers, as much as possible, are, you know, are positive, and I was just going to say in their lives, but not really just in their lives, that the fathers are a positive force in the lives of our children. What type of guidance should fathers be looking for? I mean, you're a father of two, grown people now.
You know, yeah,
not children anymore. I haven't seen them since they were. You know, I don't think I've seen them.
Yeah,
but you're a father of some truly grown children right now. But whether it's a toddler or a teen or, you know, 20-something or beyond, what types of things that we should we look to from our fathers in terms of the types of spiritual impact maybe that they should have on the family?
All right. You know, I pray that you allow me to say some of this, but it was a book that when I was trying to get my master's degree, that talked about how they would take the biggest black guy and hang him up and whip him in the front of everybody, and how they would take a black man and we go from camp to camp making babies. And that's kind of what black men learn to do rather than to stay home with their wife, because they were forced to do that. We're not forced to do that today. But that has been inbred in us. And I guess when I was learning, I probably didn't do things like I should have when I was growing up. But over a period of years, I learned how to be a dad. And a dad is like today, you know, if you can, put something on the grill, get the family over, have some corn, some ribs, some chicken, or whatever, you know. Do all these kind of things is so important to our children, because it helps to raise our children in a sense of being home with their parents, not running the street, being home with their families. And doing the best, and then sitting back in the seat and watching those families grow, and the joy and excitement that you get in your spirit from just watching that is goes to no bound. I just want to encourage all the men, the fathers, and those who are going to be fathers, you know, watch your step, how you do things, and then respect your, not just your wife, but respect your family. That's carrying on your heritage name. That's going to be a lot when 150 years from now, when I'm dead and gone. Hey, y'all remember Granddaddy George or something like that? You might not be the smile there, but it means a whole lot. You put a whole lot in other people, and it trains them how they should do. A book called It Takes a Village to Raise a Child is one book that I have. And so as I'm walking through and the mess I'm doing down here on Avenue C, And by the time I get home, Miss Coleman know that on Avenue D, and she going to tear my behind up. Or somebody already saying, I'm going to tell Charlie me, or something like that. We stopped having so many people in jail, so many of our sons and our daughters in jail today. You know, we wouldn't have all these different things going on. I just think that this is something we need to really pay attention to, the time frame that we're going through right now. And, of course, I could say a little bit more on that, but I want to do that if you allow me to do that.
You have 10 more minutes. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. And I remember when I was in the military, I was in quality assurance, this QA, quality assurance. And I would go out and I'm on the flight deck and got different planes flying. They put pins in bombs. They're taking pins out of bombs. It's dangerous up there on the flight deck. And how when I would come down, you know, and then I found out one day this guy had a pee test, and he had gotten caught for either cocaine or something. I'm the only black first class in the squadron. I felt like it was up to me to try and stand up for the guy, try and give him a little help or something. Then the very next pee test, he got caught. It was cocaine and marijuana. He had one of them in his system. But here I am, I'm trying to stand up. And that's what we have to do, learn how to do, is to stand up for each other. When you know that you're wrong, you're still trying to help. When you know you're right, you're still trying to help. To know that you're wrong means what we need to try and do is help train them so they don't continue to get in things like that. I wonder, what is his life like now? Can he get a good job now? Those are a lot of things that are important to us, for us as black men, or as men, should I say, all over the world. We need to learn how to get our kids, help our kids to stay in line. We need to let them know when drugs are out of place, when these different things are out of place, when driving too fast is out of place, when carrying a doggone gun around today. And that's the big thing. And we find so many of them every night here in this area. 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, 14 of them that got killed by guns. Are we not trying to train our children in the way that they should go? It's horrible that we're not doing it. And it's not just here in the Virginia area. It's all over the world, all over the United States that I hear. I mean, it is terrible. And we got some of our people today trying to run for congressman and president and all these different things. Let's support our people in the direction that they're trying to do something good. Let's support them today. And this program right here, this is Dino Mike. You know, when you got people and they're trying to get the word out, they're trying to get the right word out to help us all. And we need support. Radio stations, television stations. We need to support each other. You're going down, you're voting. I know about you. I'm going to go down, I'm going to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be congressman. We need another black congressman. We need another congressman that's going to be doing God's will.
Amen.
You know, amen. Somebody's going to look out for everybody. Not just somebody in there. But we need the people that are going to be in that's going to speak the right word.
Thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. And God bless you and Mrs. Coleman as well. Bishop George Coleman here on Deep Power Hour on Faith Friday. Thank you all for listening. Have a blessed weekend. And thank you. And everybody be well, be safe, be blessed. Honor those that have served to help us out, that gave their lives, so that we can live freely. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right.
Get all right.
God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
He's
sovereign.
We know he's sovereign.
He's in control.
He's in control.